Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. I'll just preface by saying that this is really John Carroll's talk, and he was not able to come to the meeting, and so he asked for me to present in his place. And also that a lot of this research was done before I took up the torch of repellent research at Walter Reed. But as the things go in the military, you know, we're sort of interchangeable. So this is now my program, but these are some things that happened before my tenure there. So hopefully I'll do the research that John did some justice today. So one of the things that we look at in the military as far as personal protective measures are topical repellents, and that was really the goal of this study, is we were evaluating new repellent formulations, and we test against a variety of vectors, and one of the vectors of interest are ticks. And we always want to try to test our repellents in realistic situations, and so we do human use testing. And one of the first efforts to test against ticks in the field was actually a field test in Maryland in 2002. So those of you who are familiar with testing against things like mosquitoes, it's a little more straightforward. With ticks, it's not quite as straightforward because you've got to get the people in contact with the ticks, and it's not quite as easy as sitting people outside, rolling up the pants leg, and just waiting for the ticks to come to you. You sort of have to go to where the ticks are, which can be a little bit more difficult. You have to walk through the tick habitat, brush against the vegetation, and hoping to pick up the questing ticks. And you've got people who have, you know, their legs exposed, walking through these areas in Maryland. And so what we found is that people were encountering things like poison ivy, scratchy, thorny plants, and it wasn't a very pleasant experience for the volunteers that we probably weren't even paying to do this. I'm not sure. I sort of doubt we were paying them to do anything. But it wasn't a very pleasant experience for them. And so the study, which was intended to go for several days, I think ended up being canceled pretty much after the first day because of problems with trying to do this. So the idea was to come up with a simulated field trial, something that would be a little more controlled and would be a little more pleasant for the volunteers. Because with the field trial, obviously, you know, people that do field research, you've got to deal with weather and scheduling and the volunteers, and you've got to travel to the field site, and you've got to get people to, you know, sign up for a couple of days and 12-hour days. Again, there was the risk to volunteers from biting flies, poisonous and thorny plants, and then we have the added problem is that, again, ticks are fairly unevenly distributed in their natural habitat, so how do you know exactly where to put the people and how to get the ticks on them? So if we do a simulated field trial, we have controlled conditions. You can control the number of ticks that people are exposed to, much lower risk to the volunteers because you're doing it in a laboratory, and you're using lab-reared ticks, which should be free of the human pathogens that you might pick up by using field ticks. And so what they did was they used the Lone Star tick, Amblyomma americanum, instead of the blackleg tick, Ixodes scapularis. And the reason was that Amblyomma americanum tends to be a much more active host seeker. So if you're applying a repellent and you're wanting to see how ticks are responding, you want something that's moving around quite a lot because you don't want the trials to be very long. People sit there waiting for ticks to crawl on them and so on. So using Amblyomma americanum was a very good choice. They also tend to be harder to repel than Ixodes, so it's a good barometer for how well a repellent that we're interested in is working if we're picking something that's typically fairly hard to repel in the first place. So we used laboratory-reared Amblyomma americanum that came from USDA lab in Kerrville. So we had a ready supply of ticks. One of the questions that came up or that they thought about was that, you know, here we are, we're trying to say that if we do the simulated field trial, we're going to say that this is how well that repellent will work when the person puts it on and actually goes out into a field situation, but we're not testing that repellent in a field situation. And we're using lab-reared ticks, and so is that an acceptable substitute for going out and actually doing a field test? And so what they have done sort of after the fact is looked at comparing laboratory reared ticks to field collected ticks to see if there is any difference in how they respond. And they've looked at two repellent compounds or two repellent active ingredients, DEET and I guess the racemic 220, and they used a vertical filter paper bioassays and treated with either the active ingredient or solvent, and looked at the responsive ticks in these filter paper assays. Okay, so what they did is they put the ticks into a glass dish, and then they had applied the solvent or the active ingredient, and they had a line here on the filter paper, and they allowed the ticks to have contact, and then they basically counted the number of ticks that in their location on the filter paper at 15 minutes to see, you know, if they were crossing the barrier of the of where the solvent or the repellent was placed on the filter paper. And then they looked to see if there were any differences between how the lab ticks responded versus the field caught ticks responded. And this is data that's a paper that's forthcoming. And basically they found that the laboratory and the field collected ticks didn't respond any differently. So that, in other words, this was using laboratory reared ticks was a good way to evaluate repellents in a much more controlled situation. So for the simulated field trial, the repellents that we were looking at the time were Bay Repel or Picarid and KBR 3023 and the SS220, and of course DEET, because that's our standard military repellent. So anything that we look at, we always compare to the gold standard DEET. So these are the cream formulations that were tested in this laboratory trial conducted at Walter Reed Army Institute of Research. So we have the 33% DEET formulation, which is our standard military repellent. And then we had a 10% Bay Repel or the Picaridin KBR 3023, a 20%, a 10% SS220, and a 20% SS220. And these four here were formulated for us by Avon. So these weren't things that we formulated ourselves. We asked Avon to participate and help us out, and they formulated these products for us. Okay, so in the simulated field trial, the repellent cream was applied in a 5 centimeter wide band around the ankle of each volunteer, and the dose was 1.92 milligrams of cream per centimeter of skin. And this was based off of the EPA guidelines, which recommend 1 gram of cream, 1 to 1.5 grams of cream for every 600 centimeters of skin. And then once the repellent was applied, volunteers were challenged at 6 post-application times, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, and 12. For the military, we think about a 12-hour, we want to look, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 hours, so 12 hours sort of being our benchmark, because from our perspective, we want to be able to have a repellent that a soldier can put on and go out and do a day-long or a night-long mission and not have to worry about putting that product on again before the mission is done. So that's sort of like our benchmark. And then 100 host-seeking nymphs were released into a plastic tub that contained leaf litter. We then had the volunteers stand in the tub for 5 minutes, then step outside of the tub and they were then evaluated for an additional 5 minutes. And then the numbers of ticks were recorded by location, so either below the band, inside the repellent band, or above the repellent band at 3, 5, and 10 minutes after the start of the trial at each post-application time. And then once ticks crossed that repellent band, they were removed with tape. So this was to minimize volunteers having, you know, any unnecessary exposure, you know, get the ticks off right away. So this is just a picture of one of the tubs. So leaf litter was collected from around Maryland, and it was collected from areas where previous flagging had shown that there were not tick populations. So they went and collected leaf litter, oak, pine, maple, and gum. And then they were put into these plastic tubs. And then around the tub, they put masking tape. And again, this is just to keep, you know, once you put the 100 ticks in there, you wanted the ticks to stay in there and not be crawling out all over the lab at Walter Reed. That wouldn't make the other researchers that have to work in that lab very happy. So they put masking tape around here to keep the ticks inside. And again, like I said, the dried leaves were collected from sites and no ticks were captured in pre-collection flagging. So we had 10 volunteers And one of those volunteers was just simply a one-day substitute. There was a volunteer who was not able to participate on the last day, so we had a one-day substitute person. And it was comprised of four women and six men over 9 days of testing. Four volunteers were used per day because that's about sort of the max that could be handled. And of those four volunteers, on each day, three of the volunteers received a treatment, and one of the volunteers served as a control for that day. So each person who participated served as a control at some point during the 9 days. It just differed as to which day they served as the control. Everyone was over 21. And then each treatment or repellent was tested on between 5 and 6 volunteers, so we had an incomplete block design. And this is just the schedule of the volunteers and the repellent treatments that they received. Like I said, it's an incomplete block design, but we had 10 volunteers. You can see that they had one volunteer that just basically substituted 1 day. So we took, counted out 100 nymphal ticks, and then they were put inside the tub with the leaf litter. And then the volunteer got into the tub. You can see here, this is the repellent band. We marked, they were marked with the marker, and then the repellent was applied inside that band. And then they stood inside the tub for 5 minutes. And they were asked to sort of shuffle their feet around and try to simulate, you know, actually sort of like walking through the leaf litter, and I guess to also kind of sort of stimulate the ticks to start moving around and to come on to the legs. And so you can see here you've got ticks starting to crawl on to this volunteer. And then they were counted at 3, 5, and 10 minutes. And so again, they were counting to see whether they were below the band, in the band, or above the band. And so after they stood in here for 5 minutes, they stepped out onto kind of a mat, and then they stood there for 5 more minutes to have the counts again at 10 minutes. And so then they looked at average or percent protection, and this is the average percent protection among on volunteers challenged at 2-hour intervals. And so here we go. We've got, this is our military repellent, our 33% DEET, and we've got again our 2-hour intervals up to 12 hours. You can see that all of the repellents did quite well, over 90% protection, which is really fantastic, over 95% protection, and that the 20% Picaridin or KBR-3023 and the 20% SS-220 performed very, very well at repelling the ticks, even up to the 12 hours, which is quite good. Okay, so this is just to show the location of the ticks on the volunteers' legs at the different hours after repellent application. Yeah, so you can see that, so here we have the untreated control, so you have sort of ticks sort of, you know, crawling all over the legs. And here is the DEET. This is the 20% Bayer Pell and the 20% SS-220, where you had 100% protection. So no ticks were crossing the barrier. They also looked at the evidence of variation among volunteers and their attractiveness to ticks, and this could be a bit of a problem in some of the studies that we do, because not everybody is as attractive to ticks as everybody else. I, for one, am a tick magnet, so I'd be excellent for a study like this, but we clearly had people who are total tick repellers. So you have, you know, someone down here who's literally, the ticks aren't even getting on to this person, even though they're standing in a tub full of 100 nymphal ticks. And then you've got the people who were just, you know, literally, you know, loved by the ticks. And so there was a tremendous amount of variation among the volunteers, which is why it's really always important to have someone serve as their own control. Another, you know, possibilities, you could, you know, pre-screen some of these people out of your study if you really wanted to just look at those who were very attractive to ticks to sort of take a lot of this noise out of your data. That is a possibility as well. In conclusion, all of the treatments were effective for 12 hours, which is excellent for us, because that's really one of the first things that we do when we're trying to screen new repellents as alternatives for the current military repellent. No ticks crossed the 5-centimeter wide bands for the 20% Bay Repel or the 20% SS220, which indicates that those are excellent repellents for ticks. And in no case was the percentage of protection less than 85% for any individual for any challenge, any treatment. Sort of the one of the lessons I think that we've learned, and we're continuing to do these kinds of studies at Walter Reed Army Institute of Research, is instead of having the volunteer stand in the leaf litter, because you had 100 ticks in the leaf litter, but there was no way to, you know, there was so much variation, there was no way to determine what percentage of that 100 ticks actually got on to the volunteer. So there was a bit of an unknown there. So one of the things we're thinking about doing this next round is you actually will place a known number of ticks on the volunteer's foot so that you know that your volunteer is starting out with 70 ticks on them, and everybody's starting out with the exact same, and that should hopefully take a little bit of the noise out of what we're doing. And in fact, we just got the human use protocol approved to do the study again in January and February, and they call it the fear factor study. So there's a lot of buzz. A lot of people want to volunteer to come up to our lab and have ticks put on them because they think it's kind of sort of a bizarre thing for us to do. But I'll try to field any questions if there's time. Again, I'll do the best that I can.